But first, King County has seen a spike in jail deaths during the first part of this year, and that's raising questions about conditions and staffing at the facility. Sydney Brownstone reported on this in a new investigation for the Seattle Times, and she joins me now. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Libby. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And we are going to be discussing suicide and self-harm in this segment. I wanted to make a note that if someone you know is struggling, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-TALK, or there's a chat function on suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Sydney, first off, can you tell me, who is Liana Mathis, and what can her final moments possibly tell us about what's happening in King County jails?
Well, we know from her friends that Liana Mathis was a 28-year-old woman who loved to perform. She was a singer. She performed in drag shows. Her favorite artist was Beyonce. Her friends' kids called her Auntie Lily. She was also trans. She had been a choir kid at South Kitsap High School. But we actually don't know a lot about what conditions Liana faced in the King County Jail, because the jail has not complied with a state law to analyze deaths like Liana's and publish the results of those reviews publicly.
We know that she died in December, and since then, there have been several more people who died in jail custody just in the first part of this year. What does the data show so far, Sydney, about unexpected jail deaths versus previous years?
Yeah, I didn't know about Liana's death until I started looking at the recent spike. Five people died this year. Three of them were suicides. One was an overdose. Another one is still pending. And that's a really unusual spike. That's more deaths in custody or after being transferred from the jail to a hospital in 4 months this year than all of last year, for example. And I believe King County was averaging about four deaths a year in jail between 2008 and 2018. So five deaths between February and April is really unusual.
And you said that the county's not complying with state law around reporting. What is that law? And it's relatively new, right?
It is new. Legislators last year passed a law saying there's not a lot of information we get around deaths in jail. The law also covered some stuff in corrections, but for our conversation, I'm going to focus on jail. To this day, jails have not been required to publicly report any kind of deaths in custody. They provide statistics voluntarily to the federal government, and that's about it. So in order to get a better picture of what's going on in our jails, legislators said, okay, every time there's an unexpected death at the jail, you have 120 days to review the possible root causes, contributing factors. And there's been a long, long history of civil litigation around jail deaths, jails not doing enough suicide prevention measures, there being lots of issues with medical care in jails. And so they passed this law saying you have 120 days to complete and publish this review unless you get an extension. And the law went into effect last July, and it appears that the King County Jail was not even aware of the new requirements of this law until we reached out.
Yeah, that's really remarkable that you reached out and the head of the jail department basically said we didn't know about this. We do know, however, that staff who work in the jails, Sydney, including public defenders and correctional officers, have been sounding the alarm about jail conditions this year. And it's related to the pandemic, but it's an ongoing issue. What do we know about how the conditions are right now in King County jails?
We know that understaffing at the jails has really reached a crisis point. It's not a new thing that jails have struggled to hire and retain people. This has been an issue for decades. But just in terms of the vacancies that we see, there are about 85 vacancies for corrections officers this year, as opposed to 20 vacancies last year. That's a huge spike. And the other huge spike that we saw this year was in COVID cases at the jail. There was a big outbreak at the beginning of January. Cases were ticking up over the last few months. And what we know is that understaffing at the jail can lead to delays in medical or psychiatric care, according to corrections officers themselves. And things got so alarming that corrections officers and public defenders, who are really unlikely allies, you know, they're usually on opposite sides of the debate around public safety, they made a joint presentation to King County Council saying that things were not safe or humane for their clients in King County Jail.
What is the county saying when you've reached out to them for this reporting?
So John Diaz, the director of the Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention at the county, he's actually retiring next month. But he says, you know, the jail has already been conducting its own reviews. The jail reviews its own policies and procedures. Jail health conducts their own review. Separately, Seattle Police conducts their own review. He says, we go above and beyond. Thing is, they're not going above and beyond if they're not complying with the basic requirements of the new law. He did say that, you know, upon learning that the new law's requirements exist, he was committed to complying, albeit with some extensions. But one of the criticisms of jails reporting mechanisms over the years has been that they conduct their own reviews. So the purpose of this law was to give a little bit more public accountability to what's going on inside the jails, maybe provide some external accountability. And, you know, the response I got from the county is, trust us, our internal accountability measures are working.
Has the county council or the executive, Dow Constantine, said anything about this?
I talked to Claudia Balducci, King County Council chair, and she actually used to be the director of the Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention. And she just stressed that it's important to look at the factors that go into each and every individual jail death, but as far as I know, this isn't causing that much of a big stir at the county. I mean, they've put a discussion about these deaths on the council calendar. I think the next time the Law and Justice Committee convenes, but that's kind of telling, I think, on its own, and it goes along with the story of these jail deaths. These deaths have been happening for years, and while much more attention has been paid lately to police shootings, rightly so, there's not a lot of attention paid to deaths that happen once people are in custody in jail.
We've got about a minute left here, Sydney, and I know that you've been reporting on deaths in local jails for several years. You and Austin Jenkins found in 2019 that 70% of people in Oregon and Washington who died in custody over a 10-year period were awaiting trial. They hadn't been convicted of anything, and they died in custody. What have you learned over your years reporting on these issues, and what questions are you still trying to get answered?
Yeah, kudos to Austin Jenkins and Conrad Wilson and the other folks at Oregon Public Broadcasting who launched that project. I mean, they undertook a huge statistical analysis of deaths in Washington and Oregon state, Oregon local jails, and they found that suicide was the leading cause of deaths. One of the most surprising things I learned when I was working on that project is that most deaths occur within the first few days of, or a plurality of deaths occur within the first few days of lockup. Mm. So I think the big question that I have is, what is it about landing in the conditions of a jail cell, you know, within the first few days and, you know, the circumstances you face once you get there that can push people to take their own lives? I think we need to look deeply into that. And I think we also need to look at the population of people who are going to jail. The King County Jail is the de facto number one mental health intervention for our county. Yeah. Why is it that so many people who are homeless, who are dealing with serious mental health issues and challenges, are winding up at the jail? I think that's another question we need to ask.
And as the country's in the middle of a mental health crisis, what are the resources that need to assure that this isn't going to happen going forward? Sydney Brownstone with the Seattle Times, thank you very much for your reporting and for sharing it with us today.
Thanks so much, Liddy.